Hello, hello, hello. You look so much better than the first service, so that's good. That's good. That's good. Happy to be here. Hey, can I throw a little? I'll throw a little something at you. People who are watching and people that would know that I'm actually from Missouri, and when you say Kansas, those are fighting words. Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't like the Jayhawks at all, and yeah, that's right. You heard me, Kansas people. Glad to be with you. What a thrill it is. I love Huntington Beach. Did you know how wonderful the Sugar Shack is? Do you know how good Sancho's tacos are? Yes. Yeah, there isn't anything better. Jack's, the Pier. Ruby's chocolate shakes. I'm pretty much thinking that's where I'm going to be going for dinner. All those places. But let me tell you, I'm just so grateful to be here. Today at 1 o'clock, we're going to have some time together. I want to invite you. I want to make a special invitation to you. If you are a parent, if you have grandchildren, this is going to be a wonderful training for you. It's all about managing conflicts and mediating change. You could actually say it the other way, too. You want to mediate conflicts and manage change. We're going to do a little bit of both. If you work with students at all, if you're a teacher or a coach, if you work with teams where you have, you're a manager and you're in charge of people at your work or your job, if you are a neighbor and you are involved in some sort of community outreach or some sort of outpost type of stuff, I want to invite you. If you work with people, if you don't like people, you probably should come too. My wife has a shirt that says, "I love dogs, humans not so much." Sometimes I think she wants to put a masking tape over that, and where it says humans, she wants to say Steve, not so much. But that's just what happens. I am delighted that we can be here today. So I really want to encourage you. If you think you can make it, I'd really like to encourage you. It'll be interactive and engaging, so it's not just going to be a bunch of talking and no interaction. There's going to be a lot of that. So I invite you to come to that, okay? I am delighted to be able to speak today about a subject that not a lot of people like to talk about. A lot of people will run from darkness, storms, trouble, struggle. Part of my role as a chaplain and as a pastor, I also do a lot of counseling. So I will talk with people about financial ruins, marriages that are weakened, relationships with kids that bring us heartbreak because they're going in a different way than maybe what we had anticipated. Maybe the job isn't what we thought it was going to be. Now we're kind of feeling stuck because we need to make an income. A couple days ago, I spoke with a leader that was telling me about their daughter and how their daughter had made some upsetting choices, and they're trying to navigate that. The storms of life, right? You can think about yours, right? Everybody's got them. Maybe you're sitting right next to one. Maybe the storm is at home, and you're in a little break right now, but when you walk through the doors, that's what's going to happen. The Bible has a lot to say to us about storms. I just finished writing in November, and my editor actually has my fourth book coming out, and it's all going to be about the storms of life, going through the Book of Psalms, navigating kind of in a journal. We're working through the title of it right now, and it's very exciting. But I looked at that book, and I was reading it on the way home. It's going to be a real short book, like 90 to 100 pages, and it's just going to be a bunch of references and good stuff with help. And I'm really glad that the people next to me in the plane was asleep, because I was weeping, because the Lord was saying, this is your life in the last 10 years. I'm sure you can look back to when it was hard, and you're not there right now, and you go, whew, man, I'm so glad we're not there, right? I visited with a woman. I was in a church in St. Louis, and she was describing her life, and the more she talked, the more I was realizing what was happening in her life. She had been a professional masseuse / call girl. Let's just say her name is Lori. As I was preaching a message, I was a guest in this church. She had come up to me and beforehand, and she shook my hand. It was very polite, very nice, and all that kind of stuff. And we began to start the service, and there was worship just like there was here. It was just a beautiful time of worship. The pastor, like Paul, came up and introduced me, and I spoke a message about hope and about love and about forgiveness and about strength that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and all of those things. And as I was preaching, and as we were getting ready to lead, I just watched this girl, Lori, that was sitting somewhere over here. She was just weeping, and I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be a beautiful day for her. And it wasn't so beautiful. She was in the middle of a storm, and all of the things that were going on in her life were just crashing down. You've seen that, right, in your own life? It's like there's one thing, and then there's another, and then there's another, and there's another, and there's another. And in the grief world, we call that complicated grief, because you can't get through it. You've got to you've got to unpeel those layers. It's almost like an onion. You've got to peel them off before you even start to realize what you have left. So Lori was sitting there, and the pastor noticed, and so he brought over another gal to minister to her. Just listen. And I'm getting all of this later. Lori was just feeling the weight of her storms, the weight of the darkness. I wonder how many of us are like that. I wonder how many of us are in a storm. And as I began to read the Psalms, just as I finished this whole Psalms thing, which started out being me being compliant, right? You're compliant to the Lord, right? You know, he said to you, no, I want you to do this. You're like, okay, gotcha. And you do it. And that's the way it was for me reading the Psalms. I started and I read through just like like I thought. And then he says, well, thanks, Steve, for your compliance. But would you pay attention to some things in the Psalms? So I, like a good compliant good boy, my mom calls me a good boy. So I said, okay, Lord, I will. So I took a few more weeks. And the Lord said, really? Would you just pay attention to me? Would you take your journal out, Steve? I'm going to show you some things. For the next 9 months, I was through the Book of Psalms. I felt like I gave birth to something that was so breathtaking. And then at the very end of that time, he showed me Isaiah chapter 50. Verses 9 and 10. I'd love to show you those things. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 9 and 10. It says, it is the sovereign Lord who helps me. It is the sovereign Lord that helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? They will wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them. Verse 10, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? And then this is where the most amazing part was. Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. It took me captive. Let me read that again. Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for these words. I pray that these words would jump out of the page and into our heart. I pray that you will illuminate each letter, each word for us, that we would remember that we don't walk in darkness without having you as our Savior. That though we walk through the shadow of death, we will have no evil. We will have no worry. We will have no anxiety. We will have no depression, because it is you that holds our hand. I pray that we would see that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Lori spoke to me after the service, and she began to outline her storm. She was being followed by people that she owed money to. She was scared that her professionalism was going to come out and she was going to be arrested. So she had the fear of all of that was going on. She had the fear of becoming sick. All these things were coming down. But it's interesting because Lori came to church that day. Lori would have never come to church. Lori would have never stood up in worship or sat in chairs. But somehow the Lord brought her there. And I told her that it was no accident that God brought her to come. And she goes, she said to me, if this doesn't work, I don't know what's going to. She was at that point. Have you ever been at that point before? Where you said, God, if this doesn't work, I've ministered to high school students who have said, I can't do it anymore. I've ministered to adults that have been in the storm and said, I can't do this anymore. I can't hang on. I ministered to a family after the brother had completed suicide. And the mother came to me and she said, I don't know what I can do. I don't know where I'm at. The storms are challenging. And let me tell you something from a counselor's perspective. It's okay to ask why. It's part of who we are. Now, a lot of people like to say, well, just don't ask why. Just say, Lord, what can I learn from this? That's a good question, too. But to be normal, to reflect humanity, it's okay to ask why. I asked why almost a year and a half ago when I found out I had cancer. I thanked the Lord yesterday because it was a year ago that I got my cancer removed, so I'm cancer-free. But there's something amazing about asking the why question. Why couldn't I carry the baby full-time, full-term? Why couldn't my dad stop hurting my sister and I? Why did that lady wear that hat? Why doesn't my neighbor return my shovel? Why does my teacher always pick on me? Why is my boss always on my tail? Why do my in-laws always stay too long? It's a good question. This morning, I want us to know that if the lights are out in your house, if the lights are out in your world, if the lights are out in your life, that you can trust God. It sounds trite. Sounds like an easy way. It's easy. It's really hard. Lori got a pretty good dose of what that was going to be like. And the more I listened to her, the more uncomfortable I became because of the storms that were going and raging all around her life. She told me things that I wish she never did. She told the lady that was ministering to her, and the lady was eyes were big, and she didn't know what to do. And at some point, she says, I gotta go. So she actually left me there with her as people were leaving. And I'm like, please don't leave. And I began to try to figure out and listen, and I was learning, and I was like, oh, God, what's happening here? And I remember hearing this verse, let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. And I did the only thing I knew how to do was I said, Lori, may I invite you to learn how to trust in God? And she said, at this point, I need to learn everything about trusting in God. And so my pastoral instincts came in, and I was like, okay, first step, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And she just started unfolding all of these things. You know, when someone tells you things that are private, it's not for you to freak out. When people tell you things that are private, that's God's way of saying, I want to forgive them for those things, and I want you to listen. Stop talking. Listen. And I listened more and more to Lori. I think about the way that God listens to me. And that's what I love about this. These verses, these two verses. Because it's not talking down at me. It's not talking down at you. It's not shaming. These verses are not shaming. They're saying to you, oh, it is the Lord who helps me. It is the Lord that helps you. It is not anything else. More money will not help you. A better job will not help you. A better girlfriend will not help you. To be married to someone else will not help you. Might be better. You might seem happier, but that's not what's going to help you. A new church is not going to help you. What's going to help you is that you and I learn to trust in the name of the Lord. And that's what I love about this whole thing. Because in the world, we're going to have trouble, right? Job said it. Job 19, verse 8 says, God has put darkness in my path. There is darkness around me. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 says, how long should I cry out and not hear? Have you ever felt like that? How long will it be? John the Baptist constantly saying, Jesus, are you the one, or is this going to be, do I need to start looking for somebody else? And there's this constant, amazing part of the world that people say the faith people don't know trouble. But that's not true, is it? Because faith people know a lot about trouble. And then there's those people that say, well, we're the overcomers, so we should be able to overcome first. But we're humans too. So just because we know Jesus doesn't mean we can just snap our fingers and say, okay, well, my marriage is in shambles, but in Jesus' name, I'm going to live. Well, I could say that, and I want to say that, but in the middle of it, that's hard. True. I couldn't just tell Lori to snap out of it. I couldn't just tell Lori, stop it. I couldn't just tell Lori that she should just give her life to Christ. I did, but I wanted to listen. And I feel like what the Lord does to us when we're in darkness is that he listens to us and he collects our tears. Here's how I think he does that. Faith that is discovered in the light is often developed in the dark. Think about that for a minute. When you come to Christ, light turns on, and then you go home. When I accepted Christ, I was 15 years old. I went to a camp, and my friends dropped me off. I got saved at camp, and I was really excited. I came up to my dad, and he was working on my car, and it was total dad thing. He's like, hey, give me a wrench, you know, give me a beer, give me this and give me that, you know. And so, you know, I'm coming up the steps. I'm coming up the walkway. And I said, Dad, I'm here. It's back. I've had a great time. And his words were, I hope you didn't become a Jesus person. I'm like, this is not what I was hoping. It was just, this is not what my pastor told me I was going to happen. The storm started. It's like the Casting Crowns song. You wake up, the war begins. Faith that is born in the light is often developed in the dark. I can't tell you how struggling it was every single day to go home, because I know that war was coming, because my dad was so against God, until he was going to have his aortic valve replaced. And he was nervous. And I came to visit him. And I was going to take care of him for a little while. And I didn't know what was going on. So I was getting him ready, like a good son does. Got your bag, Dad. You need to choose a different magazine. That's not going to work at the hospital. And so we get everything together, and I sit on the edge of his bed. He's sitting on the other edge of his bed. And I said, Dad, are you ready to go? And he goes, I'm nervous. I'm scared. There's part of me that says, part of me that wanted to say, oh, it's a little too late to be scared, Dad. Because I kind of wanted him to suffer a little bit, because I'm a good son. I said, what are you scared about, Dad? Just like what I asked Lori. Lori, what are you scared about? What's going on in your life? Dad says, I know I haven't lived right. I've been watching you. I think I want what you have, Steve. And I was like, what? Did I just miss that? And I said, what are you talking about, Dad? And he says, I don't have the peace that you have, Steve. So I was like, okay, see, what do I do? Nervous. I'm like, literally, I was like not sure what to do. So I was just standing there, and he goes, well, so aren't you going to do something? Are you going to pray or something? Or, you know, don't you, you're a pastor, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I guess I'm just kind of shocked. And he goes, well, it's not the first time you've been shocked, right? And then he started telling me things about his life that I didn't know. And I began to cry. He began to cry. I moved over to him and I put my hand on his shoulder like he would put his hand on my shoulder. And I prayed for him and I prayed with him, and he accepted Christ that night. He went into his aortic valve replacement, came out just fine. I made fun of him when he was on anesthesia, just like a good son would do. I was developed during that time. Dad was developed during that time. You know how God will develop you in the dark? He'll do two things. He wants to use two things. He wants to use trust. He wants to use trust. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of because of those who have learned it from. And from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you," what? "Wise for salvation through faith." 2 Corinthians 5, 7, "For we live by faith, not by sight." Psalms 46, 1 and 2, "For God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." Psalm 37, verse 3 through 5, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell on the land. Take delight in the Lord." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not lean not on your own understanding, but lean on him." 1 Peter 5, 7, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he," what? "Cares for you." Men and women, when you and I begin to learn how to trust in the name of the Lord, during the struggle, during the tension, during when you want to tear your spouse's head off, or as my daughter says to me about her brothers, "I want to put a fork in his eye." We have to trust in the Lord. Lori asked me, she says, "So what does it mean to trust in the Lord?" It's a good question, right? And I said, it means that we can deliver ourselves to God, and God begins to lead my path. So if God speaks to you about something, you give in to his way of thinking. You let yourself go and you trust God. Hard to do, easy to say, right? I wonder where my life would be right now if I didn't trust in the Lord. I wonder where you would be if you didn't trust in the Lord. I wonder where your children would be if you didn't trust in the Lord. Where would your grandchildren be? Where would your business be? Where would this church be? Where would the worship leaders be if they didn't trust in the Lord? There's something very, very powerful about when we trust in the Lord, because it is there is when we are really developed, our faith is nurtured. When I trust in the power of the Lord and not on my own abilities, I rely on his promises. Which leads me to second point. We can walk in the darkness by trusting in the Lord and by having an open Bible. When you and I open our Bibles during tough times, things change. I opened my Bible in front of Lori, and I said, "Lori, when you read this word will change your life." She goes, "My grandmother told me one time that I needed to read the Bible." And I said, "What did you say?" She says, "I can't tell you." And I said, "Why?" And she goes, "Because I cursed at her. That's probably not appropriate at church." But she told me anyway. She told me a lot of things. When you and I fill up our life with the Bible, especially during dark times, life changes. Psalm 19, verse 8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." Psalm 111, 11, verse 7, the works of his hands are faithful and just, and his precepts, oh, I love that word, precepts, his instructions, his wisdom, his goodness for us are trustworthy. Psalm 119, verse 40, how long I long for your precepts, in your righteousness they preserve my life. Verse 45 of that same chapter, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Verse 56 of that same chapter, this has been my practice, I obey your precepts. This is good stuff. When you and I have an open Bible, when we're going through the that's how we will be victorious. Men and women, if your Bible is closed during your calamity, you will suffer more. I believe that. You will suffer more. I'm not threatening you. There's no threat there. I just know from my own life. When my Bible is open, I can get by. My son came to me on a snowy day. We get a lot of those in Missouri. If I never had to own another jacket, I'd love that. I'd love to move to Huntington Beach and be as close to all the things that I've mentioned and more. What's wrong with having a Ruby shake every day? My son came to me and he says, Dad, what you doing? Oh, I'm really stressed right now. I got to get this thing out. I got to do this. I'm doing this. I'm in my office. What do you need, Mark? I just wanted to ask a question, Dad. I'm like, Mark, what's your question? Just get it out. You know, like we good parents do. And he says, I just wanted to know if you had your Bible study yet today. I'm like, Mark, I just told you I'm really busy and I got a lot of things happening. And I go, why you ask? And he goes, you should probably read your Bible. I'm like, oh, man. My Bible was closed. You could get the notes for the rest of the sermon. They're on there. You know what? When your Bible is closed and your trust is zero, you will be anxious. You will be depressed. I led Lori to Christ that day. And it was a beautiful moment because she ran to her car. And I thought that would be the last I would see her. But no. Lori had an armful of things with her that she was laying down at the altar. She had a duffel bag. She had her massage table, and she had another duffel bag. And just before I said, you don't have to show me any of this, she says, I need to show the Lord. I need to give this. I don't want this life anymore. And Lori unpacked some very challenging things to see. And she laid it out on the altar. And she goes, I'm clean. Those were her words. I'm clean. She got it. She walked out of that church. She's going to school. She's going to be a CNA. She's going to be great. She left all that stuff at the church, at the altar. I wonder how many of us need to leave the storm, the contents of the storm at the altar. I wonder how many of you thinking about your storm. What am I going to do? How am I going to make this work? tell you how you're going to make this work. The only way you're going to make it is by trusting in the name of the Lord. And the only way you're going to be able to make it is by having an open Bible. Get a journal. Open the Bible. Read. Write down what you think. Thank the Lord for it. If you want more helps, I'm sure Pastor Paul and some of the leaders can help you. OSL is probably one of the most amazing ways that you can learn how to be a disciple during the storms of life. I'm going to invite Pastor Paul to come. But I want to encourage you. Whatever your storm is, whatever darkness that you see, it says in the Word, I don't want to mess it up. Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Amen. Amen.
Can we thank Steve? Thank you, Steve. Well, let me just pray while we just prepare our hearts to just even worship the Lord. Father, we love you. We want to thank you that, Jesus, you're the one that says that he who believes in me does not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So, Lord, I just want to add, no darkness. If, in fact, anyone finds themselves in those gloomy stages, those oppressive moments, and see only the despair, only the reminder of what is affecting them or their life. And Lord, we thank you as we just focus in on you right now. In you is the light of life. And Lord, your word says in 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Amen. Well, I want to take a moment right now, first of all, and just acknowledge our own chaplains, Hope Chapel chaplains. First of all, our chaplain, Jim Walls, would you come on up here? Also, we have some other chaplains that are here, our associate chaplains. I'm going to invite them to come as they station themselves. Many of you are aware that Hope Chapel has chaplains. Many times you may not be aware that we have chaplains. We send out chaplains with this in mind, that a chaplain takes the chapel to where people who will not typically come to church. So naturally, that person goes to an in-home or a hospital or a situation that requires the man or woman of God to go and visit them. Isn't it great that we have these individuals that are just displaying some tremendous love and expressions of Jesus to people that really need their touch? I want to just acknowledge the thrill that we have, not only started with our chaplains to be really in a training session with our guest, Steve Sewell, that we also encourage you to come this afternoon. In a moment, we're going to be just even welcoming all of us to have lunch and consider to stay at the 1 o'clock teaching. Let me add one other thing, and then we're going to just worship the Lord and just open the altars for prayer, because we just realize God does respond where there's times of preaching of the word. I want to encourage you that there's one thing that God really does use, and that is the church. That's a beautiful thing, and if you are visiting Hope Chapel, or maybe you're just eyeballing, what is Hope Chapel like via online? We need the body of Christ. The scripture even says that in Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us do good to stir up love and good works among us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some, but so much more as you see the day approaching. We need the local church. We've been talking about our theme this year, oneness of purpose. We've been talking about the beautiful element called the Church of Jesus Christ. So just in case you happen to be hearing today's message and the emphasis of just elements of dark times, trusting the Lord, I want you to know all of us have received strength when doing that together as a body of believers. Well, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. We're going to get into worship right now and transition. Some of our chaplains will be taking seats, but if we have our altar prayer team, they'll come forward. If you're needing prayer during the time of worshiping the Lord. Ladies, come forward, receive prayer from the women. Men, come forward, receive prayer from the men. Let's worship the Lord in these few moments before we depart.
Your love outlasts the deepest pain. Your arms still reach the furthest place. Your light still shines to light up the darkest night. And the waters rise beyond the shore, though mountains fall, still I am yours. Your name is still great, still greater than all other names. You are more than enough, you are mighty to save. You are all that you said you would be. You have already won. You laid death in the grave. Through the power of the cross, I am free. And the waters rise beyond the shore. The mountains fall, still I am yours. Your name is still great, still greater than all other names. Cause your name is still great, still greater than all other names. Save. You are all that you said you would be. You have already won. You laid death in the grave. Through the power of the cross, I am free.
You are more.
You are more than enough. You are mighty to save. You are all that you said you would be. You have already won. You laid death in the grave. Now through the power of the cross, I am free.
While we continue to worship the Lord, I want to first of all thank you, Chaplain Steve. I'm going to encourage you. Why don't you go ahead and station yourself at our double glass doors and get a chance to greet Steve on your way out. But if you're able to stay with us for the 1 o'clock teaching, boy, that would be great. We welcome that. We have a light lunch for you so we can grab and come right back on in here. But I want to pray us off a blessing, but felt moved to pray specifically for those who are watching online. And if you are at home because you're not feeling good and you have something of an illness or something that's causing you to find shelter away from people, boy, we miss not having you. We long to have people both giving and receiving. That's called the body of Christ. So as we pray a blessing to go, we're going to all just pray for you who are watching online. Let's watch how that miracle is, and then you could email us and say, God touched me. I am all better. I'm well. And can't wait to come to Hope Chapel next Sunday. How many would say amen? Let's believe for that. So, Father, we want to thank you. What a great day it is to be here at Hope Chapel. We want to rejoice in the power of the cross and the resurrection and speak in the name of Jesus for those who are currently just silently suffering. They're dealing with an illness. They are not feeling good. They may have even been here in the sanctuary and said, I'm too embarrassed to say I have a need. Then we say in the name of Jesus, be healed. Sickness go, depression leave, uncertainty be removed, and let assurance, faith, hope, and love abound in each one. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for coming today. It's been a great day. We're going to be opening the doors to the fellowship hall. If you are here to stay for the 1 o'clock teaching, then we encourage you, come join us for a light lunch. Okay, God bless you. Thanks for coming. We'll see you again next Sunday. Bye-bye.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.